Welcome to this episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd. Today we're going to be talking about EQ, and this has nothing to do with equalization. That's one of those audio things that we barely even know how to take care of our own audio here on the podcast. No, not EQ as in equalization. We're going to talk about emotional intelligence.
Now, I'll be honest with you, until a few weeks ago, I hadn't heard of the term emotional intelligence or ever had. I kind of disposed of it in the trash can of my mind.
Right.
And fully emptied the trash can. Now, like you, when I saw the letters EQ, I thought it had something to do with music. But I think the last time I saw that was when I used to use Winamp on the computer. I read a little bit about it and I thought it sounded woke. Getting in touch with your feelings and all that stuff, in touch with your inner child.
So you feel like this is one of those woke things? This isn't necessarily like a real, you know, psychological thing?
Well, like I said, in that thing I looked up, it was leaning towards that getting in touch with your emotions and in touch with your inner child, which I thought was going to be a bad idea for you straight off the bat, because you've been wedging your inner child for the last 30 years and stealing his lunch money. So I thought this is going to be a bit of a rough trip for you if we're going to have to get in touch with emotions.
Well, sure. I mean, that's where all my savings go. I mean, that's where I get my savings account, is taking the lunch money from my inner child away and just putting it in a little bank somewhere. And honestly, that's where I kind of do my Bitcoin investing as well. I mean, that's where all that money comes from. So nothing wrong with that.
Did you set up a college fund for your inner child?
No. He's probably not going to even graduate high school, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think he's got the emotional intelligence to be able to get through school.
Well, he's like 30 now, so he's dragging his ass a bit.
Oh, that is
true.
Yeah. He's an underachiever.
Well, in latest news, Pepe Le Pew has been cancelled for his lack of emotional intelligence.
Oh, that's right. You know, I kind of feel sorry for skunks in general. They get a bad rap. Sure, they put off a kind of a bad smell, you know, and it's hard to wash out of a dog. You know, you can do the tomato juice or whatever, and it never really quite works. But all skunks are doing is just trying to mind their own business. And so here comes old Pepe Le Pew along, and all he's trying to do is just show, hey, you know, I'm a good guy. I'm trying to impress the ladies, this thing, that thing, and the other. Now the poor guy gets canceled. Chalk another one up for the degradation of skunks.
I don't know how far it's going to go, because I read something the other day that Speedy Gonzalez might be next.
Oh, I can 100%. I will go on the record right now to say Speedy Gonzalez will never be canceled. 100% never be canceled. Prove me wrong. I'm going on the record right now. He will never be canceled. Right. You mark my words.
Because one of my good friends is Mexican, and he doesn't like Speedy Gonzalez because it gives out the false impression, he said, that all Mexicans are high energy, are going to work really hard. He said it's kind of countering the fact that he wants to be a little bit lazy and take a siesta, but they're expecting him to rush around like Speedy Gonzalez.
Oh, that's an interesting way to look at it. So he's
kind of supporting Speedy Gonzalez being cancelled, not for cultural appropriation or anything or stereotypes, but just that it's given the kind of wrong idea that they're expecting him to kind of work his butt off.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. I kind of feel bad for the guy there. But I guess the other way to look at it is, does he feel it, you know, you said the work thing, right?
Yeah.
Does he feel like he can outrun Usain Bolt?
You know, he's quite short. I don't think he's got the leg stride to outrun Usain Bolt, to be honest.
I mean, when's the last time the Mexican Olympic team won in sprinting?
Probably never.
Yeah, just something.
You'd have thought Speedy Gonzalez has got to be their mascot for the track and field, though, right?
Oh, has to be. I can't think of a better mascot than Speedy Gonzalez for the Mexican track team.
Yeah.
Or any track team, for that matter. You stop and think about it.
And if anybody wants to complain about stereotyping, let's remember the shepherd is married to a Mexican.
That is true.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to get all the pronouns sorted out, so I figured just a Mexican, because if we kind of mention the gender, it might cause further issues.
Yeah.
You're just married to a Mexican.
Correct.
Yeah.
Which that is a fact.
Yeah. So Lola Bunny, I don't know if you remember her from Space Jam, and I think she was in some of the original Pepe Le Pew cartoons. Well, now she's going to be reanimated because apparently she's too sexy in her original form. So they're going to kind of fill her out a little bit, make her a bit chunky, so she's not quite so attractive, because apparently it puts undue pressure on human children to look attractive if you have cartoons where the females doesn't look like she's eating regular wings from Wingstop. Oh, on that note, wings from Wingstop are one of my favorite wings. If there is a representative listening from Wingstop, we would very much be glad to have you sponsor us and possibly sort out something where I can get like one batch of free wings a week. Yeah. Just wanted to throw that in there.
Well, now hang on a second. Wingstop, we need two batches of wings.
Yeah, because I'm doubly hungry.
No, I need some too. Now stop trying to bogart all the sponsorships over there.
I think the next thing is all the Disney princesses. You know, the ones who've got a waist like about 4 inches around.
Yeah, but isn't that almost all of them?
Yeah, so it gets into that thing. It's been suggested that maybe they all need to be reanimated. And apparently, with new technology, you can actually go through and isolate a character and actually completely reanimate pretty easily via the computer AI to replace that character in the entire movie with this new version of the character. So,
well, I mean, so you're basically talking about what George Lucas did with the special editions.
Right.
Just the next step up, yeah. Right?
Yeah, so the Little Mermaid, the next time you see her, she's going to look something like Jabba the Hutt, but with a fishtail.
That's kind of sad.
Right.
But then think about, what was the one from Aladdin? Jasmine.
What
about that? You know, she's got the little crop top, midriff,
yeah.
Like those flowy pants thing, and then she's showing her belly. I mean, are they going to go back and like put a baggy hoodie over her now because that's showing too much skin?
Well, they'll probably ban the whole of that just simply because, again, it reinforces stereotypes of the Middle East back in whatever time period that was.
Yeah, it's like 1980.
No, I mean, what moment in time it's supposed to represent, not when the cartoon was made.
No, I thought that was supposed to represent the Middle East in the 1980s. Yeah.
What, flying carpets and that?
Yeah.
That story's been around before then. Aladdin?
I'm pretty sure that was set in the
1980s. Well, I don't know if that's true. I'm just waiting for the Wonder Woman franchise to be renamed to Mediocre Woman, so that doesn't put too much pressure on females, or gets renamed I Don't Need No Man Woman, just to hammer the point home.
That one, that's a tough one right there, you know, because Wonder Woman has all those powers and she's, you know, fast runner, strong, you know, all that good stuff, right? I don't think they're going to change it, especially with that latest, what is it, 1984? See, here we go with the 80s again. The original, what was her name? Linda
Carter.
Yeah, Linda Carter. Yeah. You know, she made that little cameo in the end. I mean, she's still sitting there supporting it.
Yeah.
So I think as long as you have all of the past people supporting that, it's going to be tougher to get it to change.
Yeah, I think Linda Carter is top of my live-in list since Carrie Fisher died.
Right.
It's a bit awkward to still have her on the list, to be honest with you.
Nothing wrong with that.
But the problem is, though, with Wonder Woman, if they do kind of go that route, I was just kind of figuring, well, who's going to make sandwiches and do the laundry for the rest of the Justice League?
Storm?
Who's Storm?
Well, that's a female character, female superhero. But she can conjure up storms, right? I think that's where she gets her name.
It's not much use when you want a bacon, lettuce, tomato.
Well, now hang on. You said sandwiches and laundry. I'm trying to take care of the laundry part.
Oh, so she can dry it.
Well, no. work with me here. She can take all the laundry and put it in like a big pile in a field, right? Yeah. And conjure up a storm, throw some soap on the top of it, and then boom, that's taken care of. Then tornado comes by, dries all the clothes. The wind blows the clothes over to, you know, wherever they need to go. All through, all done. Sandwich thing? I don't know who's going
to
take care of that.
I still think it's easier for Wonder Woman to just put it in the regular Whirlpool washing machine and just do it that way, to be honest with you. I think you're creating too many problems with the logistics of Storm doing the laundry.
That could be a problem.
So anyway, what were you supposed to... Oh, yeah, emotional intelligence.
Yeah. Right.
Going serious for 10 to 15 seconds here. What do you think emotional intelligence is before I tell you the interwebs opinion and why you're wrong?
My guess, based off of when I last heard about... Or I should say when I first heard about it, which was pretty much at the same time you did, is some kind of a measure as to whether or not you offend other people.
So you mean don't say something which might offend somebody else?
Yeah, kind of like the anti sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me method of the parent. And let me be honest, I do this all the time. You tell your kid, you know, don't say anything if you can't say anything nice, or, you know, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything, whichever way you want to manipulate the saying, so to speak.
Yeah.
Basically, how much are you capable of practicing that method determines your emotional intelligence.
So in summary, if you're trying to get somebody's attention by saying, oi fatty, oi ginger, that shows a lack of emotional intelligence.
100% correct.
Okay, yeah. I'd almost want to end the podcast there, and let's just go with that definition. But we're only about 10 minutes in, so we should probably drag it out a bit more. So I thought the quickest and probably least reliable way to find out what emotional intelligence was to either ask Siri or Google, right? I tried asking Siri, couldn't understand my accent, and she actually started bringing up some movie with Kevin Hart and The Rock in Central Intelligence or something, so she completely misheard me.
What, I thought that's where you got the recipe for the Mexican lasagna.
No, that was ripped out of a magazine from the electricity company, actually. For some reason, we got one from our electricity company, which, let's be honest, didn't do a great job this last month during the winter storms in Texas. And about 2 days after the power finally came back on, we got this lovely PR magazine through the mail telling us how wonderful the Texas electricity grid was and all that. But smack bang among the adverts in this magazine was a recipe for Mexican lasagna. I mean, I don't know whose idea it was to be like, yeah, I know where I'm going to reach my demographic. I'll put it in the Texas Power and Energy magazine, which I didn't subscribe to, I'll be honest to you. That's pretty much spam mailed.
Yeah, it was. But you know what would probably go really good with Mexican lasagna? Italian tacos.
What are Italian tacos?
I don't know. What's a Mexican lasagna?
It's a lasagna made by a Mexican.
So then a taco made by an Italian would be what an Italian taco is.
Yeah, that's true. Because okay. If Chinese make food, that's Chinese food, isn't it?
Well, it's all made in China.
What, all Chinese food?
Right, isn't it?
Well, how do they get it to the table when you go to a restaurant?
By
boat. Made in China.
Probably by boat. That's why it takes so long.
That's true.
And that's why a lot of Chinese restaurants are buffets, so they brought everything over already.
Oh, they just reheat it, yeah.
And now it's ready for you to go scoop up and get.
Yeah, that definitely sounds like it's true. Anyway, I turned to Google, typed in, what is emotional intelligence? So I accidentally clicked on an ad to begin with, and it offered to sell me emotional intelligence for $39.99 a month, which I thought was kind of a little bit on the pricey side, but you know, you don't know what you're getting for your money. That might actually be a bargain, but as usual, I didn't bother clicking through to see what was
going on. You don't know whether or not they were going to give you like the first month free so you could try out.
So I can have emotional intelligence for a month, and then if I like it, I can continue having it for the rest of the year for maybe 10% off or something.
Yeah.
No. Didn't do that. So I went with our...
They must have the same marketing campaign we do.
We don't have a marketing campaign.
Oh, that's right.
I went to our Wiki Basic Wikipedia definition, which came up with something which, if I was going to take this topic seriously, which I think I am, a really good definition, I think. It says, emotional intelligence or emotional quotient is the capability of individuals to recognize their own emotions and those of others to discern between different feelings. So if you can't tell the difference between whether you're angry or happy, you know, whatever, then you've got a lack of emotional intelligence. I think this is a sliding scale, isn't it, really? Well, I don't think it's a case if you've got no emotional intelligence or you have emotional intelligence. I'm guessing it's one of these, what's your score out of 100?
Yeah, I'm wondering, when you went through all of your research and all that good stuff, whether or not you found out, I mean, is there some kind of score? Is it out of 100? Like, I'm a 98 EQ person, or I'm a 3 EQ person?
I might have to go back and click on that ad, because at the moment, when I read that Wikipedia definition, I thought, well, what am I going to get for $39.99 a month?
Yeah, but think...
It's like a credit score. We can raise your emotional intelligence score by 9 points this month if you follow this simple steps.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking. Let's say it's 1 out of 100, right? Or 1 to 100, rather.
Yeah.
And you're like a 94, and you can pay $39.95 to get 7 more points by that definition, right? That's all you'd have to do. So you'd only have to subscribe for a month. So if they're raising it like 7-8 points a month and you're really low, obviously, you're going to have to spend more money and more months to get that score up.
Yeah.
I guess the big question would be, does it expire? Like, can those extra points go away after a certain period of time?
I don't know. I feel our score would probably be on par with somebody entering the country illegally from El Salvador in terms of their credit score. So somewhere around 50.
50?
50.
That's a little bit higher than I thought it was
going to be. Well, we're going to fake some of it.
Oh, okay.
We're going to fake empathy and all that type of stuff. So just to let the listeners know, the shepherd and I were in a clubhouse room a couple of weeks ago, and this is how we first kind of heard of the term emotional intelligence. And the whole room was actually dedicated to the topic of EQ, and it was pretty good. I feel I learned all I need to know probably on the topic at that point, but we figured we better kind of share our gained knowledge with our listeners just to educate them on the subject.
Sure. We have gotten to the point now where we jump into Clubhouse and we'll be in like a podcast room or whatever, and then we get bored and then we just start looking at these other random rooms.
Yeah.
And that's how we ended up in that. So
yeah.
You know, maybe if you've seen us in there and we end up talking about something, or we pop into some room that they're talking about some topic, yeah, it's probably going to be a podcast later on, because that's kind of our new pastime that I'm guessing, what, 3, maybe 4 weeks, we're going to get bored of that and move on to something else.
Yeah. Now, I actually, if you remember, when we were in that room, I offered a lot of opinions with absolutely no factual or research evidence whatsoever, but everybody seemed to be agreeing with me and thanking me for my insight, obviously except for you, because you're quite aware when I'm talking out my butt.
Well, sure. Not only that, but I was starting to get bored hearing you talk, because, I mean, we do the podcast together, so I talk to you enough. I don't need to hear you on an app either. So I was like, I listen to him enough. I want to hear what he's talking about. So I'm pretty sure I started playing a video game on my phone.
So I didn't really want to bore our listeners by going any deeper into the concepts, but we've spent 10 minutes talking about our roofie figurehead, Pepe Le Pew. So I thought we might want to, I don't know, maybe fill it out with something. I've come up with a new term, and this is going to be copyrighted.
Wait a second. Before you give us this term,
yeah,
something just hit me. Are the French upset with Pepe Le Pew?
You know, I don't know. I don't know how big he was in France.
Well, yeah, but if you're a French American, right, wouldn't you consider that a negative stereotype that all Frenchmen are womanizers?
It might be accurate, though.
That's true. That's why they're all in Canada, isn't it?
Yeah, French Canadians.
Yeah. I wonder if the French Canadians don't like Pepe Le Pew.
Well, you know your thing about you don't like Canadians. I told you, I do like Canadians, except for the French Canadians.
Yeah, but the reason that, or one of your character flaws is the fact that you like Canadians.
Well, except for the French ones. Well, no, even then, that goes down a little bit further, because I don't mind the French Canadians who play hockey. I like those. It's just the other French Canadians.
So as long as they play hockey, do they have to be good at hockey?
No.
They just have to play.
Yeah,
hockey.
I think it's a different mindset, you know. It kind of gets them out of that. Because my whole, if you combine what I don't like about Canada with what I don't like about France, it all comes together in the French Canadian. But I think if they play hockey, they just happen to be French Canadians, but they've got a completely different mindset. And I kind of don't mind those people, so they're all right.
Yeah, but see, I don't like the French, and I don't like Canadians, so I definitely don't like French Canadians.
What about a French Canadian cat? That would be like the worst thing imaginable.
French Canadian cat. I mean, that's basically Satan, right? I mean, that is Satan.
Well, I was actually going to say, you would rather go through a living reenactment of The Exorcist than have a cat from the French Canadian province of Quebec.
Correct.
Yes. All right. So anyway, this new term I've come up with, right? This is a term which I wanted to describe any information you get from the internet and you treat it as a fact, but you actually haven't done any research to back it up, right? And so I want people to use this from now on so it stops a whole bunch of complaining about whether this is true or not and whether, you know, it's been backed up. It's a interfact. So if you say, I've got an interfact for you, it just means I read it on the internet. I don't know whether it's true. I didn't do any research, but this is an interfact.
Should we change the tagline of the podcast to Home of the Interfact?
No.
Okay, good. Because I don't know how to do that on the website. That's too difficult.
Well, also, you've got to put that kind of parenthesis stuff around it. And I don't think the meta tag likes special characters. So
yeah, or that little special character, the little trademark thing.
Little C in the circle, the copyright thing.
Yeah, well, you got
that. Or the TM,
the
little TM.
The TM for trademark.
Oh, that's easy. You just change the font size and make it super small.
Sounds difficult.
It does, doesn't it? So, the 5 features of emotional intelligence. I was going to ask you at the end, but I know what your brain's like, and you'll have forgotten the first 3 by the time I tell you the 5th one. So, I'm just going to ask you about these in order.
Okay.
All right? Five features of emotional intelligence. Number one, self-awareness. Oh, there I am.
Yep.
So self-awareness.
I give us a point on that one. I'm pretty sure we both are aware that we're right here. So, yeah, we got that one.
Yeah. Self-regulation.
Oh, we're not good with that.
I thought it was about, you know, like people who aren't regular at like going potty.
Yeah.
People get in the habit of going to the bathroom in the morning and before they go to bed. I think that's a good way to regulate because it gets your body into this pattern of clearing out your digestive tract and your duodenum and all that. And it actually keeps your body healthy because then you don't have those toxins in your system. So I think self-regulation is talking about toilet habits.
Well, Dr. Wolf, I will probably agree
Professor
with that.
Wolf, oh, son.
Professor. Okay. Professor Wolf, then I'll agree with you on that, but I'm going to have to give myself a zero if it's based off that because I never know when and where it's going to happen. I have a friend who explained to me, he was an outside sales guy and he'd drive around and he said, man, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. If you're ever out on the road and the urge hits you to go take a seat in the bathroom, always go to a hotel because people that stay in hotels are using the restroom in their rooms, in the public restrooms in hotels are really, really clean.
Yeah.
You know, and if you don't have a Buc-ee's near you, the next best thing is stop in a hotel, walk in. I mean, people are walking in, walking out all the time. Just go in the hotel and use the public restroom.
Or find a Chick-fil-A, because Chick-fil-A keep their restrooms so clean, you could literally eat off the floor. Not only is it great food, you could also eat off the floor in case you don't have a
So I agree with you there.
Table available.
But here's the problem with doing that at Chick-fil-A. You only get Chick-fil-A 6 days a week. So if this happens on a Sunday, you got to have a backup plan.
That's true. Now, my girlfriend, she has the toiletry habits of a hibernating bear, as in, like, she'll only go to the toilet, like, twice a week. I don't mean peeing, because that would cause a serious issue with the kidneys. But whereas, you know me, I like to go, like, two or three times a day, mainly to play games on my phone.
Well, that's why your score's so high on Words with Friends.
That's true. I only lose about one in every 100 games, and that's because I don't renew games against people who I know can possibly beat me. At the moment, I just play against people who, you know, I know pretty much if I put in a half-assed effort, I'm going to win.
So you play a lot of Words with Friends with Eric?
No, he's got that cheap knockoff phone, so I don't think he can't load Words with Friends, because he bought the Chinese clone copy of a Samsung, and it's got some unusual features to it, which, you know, don't come with the standard official Samsung, and one of those unusual features is not being able to actually install anything from the Google Play Store. I think you actually had to pay extra for that as well.
Probably.
Yeah. So anyway, number three on the list, empathy.
Struggling with that one a little
bit. I know how you feel.
Because I get it. I know how people feel, but sometimes I just don't care.
I understand you. I feel exactly the same way. And that, listeners, is a good example of empathy.
So basically, you get a point for that one, and I'm a zero. So you're
But remember, I'm faking it. So
yeah, but you're at three, and I'm still at one. Right. And there's only two more left. Yeah. This is not looking good for me. I mean, you've already won, right? I mean, there's no way for me to to win. So.
Yeah. Actually, on the subject of empathy, or at least using part of the word, I have a friend who's an empath, and she works with police departments to go and solve cold case files.
An empath?
Empath, they pick up on the emotions, if they're strong emotions, at a certain place. And so she can go to somewhere where somebody was kidnapped or somebody was murdered, and she'll pick up on, like, almost like flashbacks of emotions and give clues. And she's helped, like, police, like, solve a lot of crimes just from the insight she's given of, like, being able to tell the police the last thing the victim saw and that type of stuff. I mean, I know people believe or don't believe it, but empaths actually have quite a serious role in a lot of cold case files, and there's plenty of documented evidence that they've, you know, it's really made a difference. But anyway, I know that's a bit of an aside.
Do the police dogs have, like, emotional support dogs with them? And so the emotional support dogs are the empaths for the real police dogs, so the empath dog could then help the real police dog try to find the person?
No, you've got to be a jack of all trades if you're a police dog.
Oh.
You've got to do everything from, like, bodyguard, drug sniffer dog, type stuff.
Look, that's
It's a general training course.
It's like community
college for dogs.
But that's not fair to dogs. They need specialized trades. I mean, we rely too much on the police dogs to put that much pressure on them.
Yeah.
I mean, on top of that, they got to go find the ball.
Yeah.
They got to go play with the tennis ball. And, you know, they've got to eat and they got to sleep. That's too much pressure on a dog. We got to fix that. Maybe that should be our mission.
Well, Ricky Gervais said it best in one of his stand-ups. You know, he was saying how much he loves dogs. You know, they're better than people in some respects. And at some point, he said, when all these breeds became so separate, somebody had to hand out these jobs to these dogs. And so, you know, he called up, you know, the Labradors and said, hey, do you like chasing things and retrieving them in your mouth? They're like, yeah. He goes, good, that's your job. He goes, small dogs, do you like being carried around by elderly homosexual men? Yeah. Well, that's your job.
Yeah.
And the Rottweilers are like, well, what's our job? It goes, shaking babies.
Yeah. No, I remember that stand-up by him. That was fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and it's the one where it's the South African Rhodesian Ridgebacks. It goes, okay, Rhodesian Ridgebacks, yo, your job? Hunting lions. What? Hunting lions. But anyway, number four, motivation. Hard fail for both of us on that.
Yeah, do we even need to talk about that one anymore?
Hard fail.
Yeah, I think we just move on to number five.
Well, number five, again, that's... If they're going to take away marks on this, rather than giving you marks, this is another negative mark. Social skill.
I think we have okay social skills. I mean, we don't like talking to anybody, and we really don't care what they have to say.
Isn't that the opposite of social skill?
We would really rather just, you know, kind of do our own thing. But beyond that, I think we have pretty good social skills.
Yeah, we have good social skills with each other.
Well, yeah, because the only time we ever really talk to each other is when we do the podcast. Other than that, we just text each other back and forth.
Yeah, self-awareness.
Because it's really hard picking up the phone and talking on the phone. You know, if you think about it, we're so...
Self-regulation.
Yeah.
Empathy.
No.
Motivation.
Nope.
Social skill.
No. Nope.
Right. All right. So those are the basic five. Right now, I'm going to hit you with this list later, which is going to break those down a little bit more, and we can actually give ourselves a proper score.
So do you realize the last one was social skills, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you realize? See, you interrupted me, and now I can't even remember what I was talking about. I think that's part of social skills.
Well, that was part of it because you were talking, and that's why I said self-awareness.
Maybe we have more emotional intelligence than we realize we do.
Doubtful, but
probably.
Yeah. So I'll be honest with you. If I read that list and I was some type of manipulative, evil marketing genius, that sounds ripe for exploitation. I mean, forget the $39.99 a month. I'm pretty sure that within about a year, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle are going to be doing a topic on this on Netflix. Not to say they're marketing geniuses, because they're not, but exploitation.
No, hang on. Maybe they are marketing geniuses. No. Maybe they're getting that set up.
No.
What if Harry and Meghan started a podcast?
Well, they do have one. Remember?
Oh, they already have one?
Remember, they launched it. And they thought it was going to be like the next big thing. And it actually got less downloads, I think, in the first week than our podcast. And one of the podcasts which finished above them in the list was Whale Sounds.
Well, what's wrong with Whale Sounds?
Nothing. But I'm just saying, people would rather listen to Whale Sounds than Harry and Meghan. I would. I'd rather listen to a whale fart than listen to Harry and Meghan. But, you know, that's just me and...
Well,
the majority of the rest of the population. But,
well, yeah,
you know.
I mean, there's a reason why you're sitting here in Texas and not over in jolly old England.
Well, they don't live there, do they? They live in Los Angeles.
Oh, they don't live in England
anymore? No, they moved over here. England wasn't woke enough for them.
Wait, what are they doing over here?
Well, they moved over here because they wanted privacy, and which is why they're on the news like every day and pushing Netflix specials and like books and podcasts, because they want privacy.
Oh.
And they did that interview with Oprah where basically Meghan whined for about 2 hours, said the royal family was racist and all this other stuff and other things which got fact-checked and didn't quite work out for her. But they live over here now in California.
Oprah still has a show? I thought she went off the air.
Well, maybe she just does specials now.
Oh.
And that magazine, that O magazine.
Were they in the magazine too?
I have no clue, mate.
Oh.
But, you know, it's...
I thought you had a lifetime subscription to the Oprah magazine.
I do, but I'll save it in case the power goes out again and we need to burn something to keep us warm.
Are you sure that's not where you found the Mexican lasagna recipe?
No, I've still got that magazine. I don't want to go any further into that topic except for Oprah, the childless woman who tells you how to raise children. the woman who has fluctuating body weight but gives you advice on dieting and various other things like that. I'm not a fan, I'll be honest with you, of Oprah.
I would let her adopt me because she's got a lot of money.
She's not going to treat you well, mate.
Oh, but she's so busy, she would never see me.
I mean, she'll treat you better than Ellen DeGeneres.
Probably.
Because apparently she's a bitch.
Yeah, I feel kind of bad for Ellen's staff. Whatever you want to call them, production team. I don't know what they're called.
She's a meanie.
I wonder who's meaner, though. Who's meaner, Oprah or Ellen?
Well, I don't know if Oprah's got a reputation for being mean. I just think she, you know, kind of milks topics she's not really an expert on, and people just lap it up.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, nothing wrong with that.
But, you know, she's found her audience, you know, kind of.
Do you realize that pretty much sounds just like us?
No.
Oh.
What's that, Shepherd? You want to know the 19 signs of an emotionally intelligent person?
Wait, there's 19 of them?
Yeah, it's 19 of them.
Oh, man.
It's okay. All right. I've got you, mate. Let's go.
All right. So we're going to work through 19. So right. Is this like a yes, no, like we're keeping score type thing? Like,
well, aren't all things a yes, no?
No.
Or left or right? It's binary.
Okay, so it is binary. So
yeah.
So do I get a point for a yes and zero for a no?
I don't know. I think we need to judge each other's answers to see whether we get a point. So I'm actually going to keep score on this one properly.
Well, now hang on. Let me keep score on you.
Well, no, I can write it down. You don't even have a pen or any paper. What are you going to write it on?
I don't know.
Use asking you to remember it. We know that.
Well, no, that isn't going to happen.
And just have two questions, you're going to lose score.
All right. So you're going to put like a W and an S for, you know, next to each one.
No,
of these.
If you get it correct, and I get it correct, not that it's probably not as binary as I made it out to be honest, reading the first one. No, I'm going to put an S if it applies to you.
Okay.
And I'm going to put a W if it applies to me. And then at the end, we'll count up the S's, we'll count up the W's, which will probably end up being like about 3 and 4 or something like that.
Okay.
And we'll see if we have the signs of an emotionally intelligent person. And then actually, because 19 is pretty close to 20, I think if we multiply those numbers by 5, that's going to give us our score of like 1 to 100, like we were talking about earlier. And we can say to people, I have an emotional intelligence score of 15.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to make this psychologically official.
Well, scientific. This is scientific, yeah.
Yes.
This is empirical evidence.
Okay, but what we're saying is everybody listening can actually do the exact same thing with us, and they can figure out what their EQ score is.
And we'd like you to post it on your Facebook profile that you have an emotional intelligence score of...
blank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if it is blank.
Yeah.
Emphasize that. Maybe write blank in parenthesis to show that you just didn't forget to put down the number. It truly is blank. You have a blank score.
Yeah. Note to self.
Yeah.
When I do mine, make sure to put the number.
I can't wait till all our followers in India do this. Because you know we're going to end up with like about 50 emails within the first week of this podcast going, because they jump onto everything we say when it comes to this.
No, that is true. Yeah. I think, but before we get started though, I think because there's 19, and I like your idea of taking that 19 number, you know, we get through it and multiply it by 5. I think everybody should get 5 free points.
That's what I was going to say, 5 bonus points.
Yeah. Just for doing the test, you ought to get 5 points.
Yeah.
So you can't get below a 5.
Right.
Okay, here we go.
Number one. Now, I'm going to say number one, but by the time I get to about 6 or 7, I'm going to have lost count.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to say number one. And when I get to the last one, I'll say that, oh, this is the last one. So that way we know we've got to 19.
Gotcha.
They think about feelings.
Who's they?
I don't know.
Are we talking about us?
I don't know. That's the preferred nouns. Isn't that a direct object pronoun, they? Or is a direct collective object pronoun? Direct collective pronoun? I don't know. Anyway, they think about feelings. Remember, these are signs of emotionally intelligent people
okay,
or
so
persons.
We're the emotionally intelligent.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm with you.
Yeah.
All right. So
they think about feelings.
Hopefully there's no questions about getting confused about pronouns on this. So, okay. So do I think about feelings? No.
You just have them, don't you? You don't really think about them.
Yeah. I just have them.
Right.
So.
No points on that.
So zeros on us.
Well, do you sometimes think, oh, why am I sad? Why am I mad?
Sometimes I think, why am I hungry?
Why am I strangely attracted to Lola Rabbit? Oh, I'm not now anymore.
Well, yeah. I'm not anymore.
Not anymore. Not now she went chunky.
Right. I don't think about him. So I'm a scratch on that one.
No diss to people who are making an effort to get in shape and stuff. And let's be honest, Lola Rabbit, she's playing basketball and still a little bit chunky. But like I say, you've got to give props to people who... So that's a no, I guess, yeah, about thinking about
that. That's a scratch for both of us.
Yeah.
All right.
Also, I'm glad they didn't put in there they think about other people's feelings, because that would have been a no as well.
Ooh, yeah. That would have been a double whammy.
Probably should have added that one in there by ourselves, and then just that way we could have done an easy kind of...
Yeah, well, then we would have had 20 questions.
And that would have been easier to multiply by 5 equals 100. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I don't want to add to it. Let's do the 5 bonus points, because that's going to be the only way we're going to get any score at this point. True. The second one, right? I'm a bit confused about this one, but let me give you an example of it so we don't struggle as much as we did with the first question, right? Point number 2. They pause.
I pause a lot.
Mainly because we're trying to extrapolate any relevant information from the data we have received. And it takes the time sometimes, to be honest.
Yeah, it does. So yeah. I think we both get a check mark on that one.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It doesn't say why they pause. It just says they pause. Right. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So we've got a minimum of 6 points at the end of this, which is, I'll tell you.
I think you ought to put it on the left side of the paper.
No, I've put it there just because it's going to make it harder.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to practice some of the counting stuff. And again, this one's a bit weird, I think. It says they control their thinking. Now, I'll be honest with you. I was reading this on my iPhone and my contact lenses were getting a bit cloudy because it's later in the evening. And I thought it said drinking at first. So like neither of us were going to get a point for that.
Right.
But I reread it kind of later on and it says... They control their thinking. Now, how can you control your thinking? Because you're the one thinking.
I don't control my thinking.
Is it like telling yourself off? Like, don't think about that. Don't think about that, Shepard. Oh, too late. I'm already thinking about it. Now, that's all I'm thinking about. They control their thinking.
Yeah, I don't control my thinking. So I'm a scratch on that one.
Yep. Ditto. This one I thought is good, just simply because I thought I can exploit this one. They learn from emotional hijacks. So my first thought before you answer that is tune in to my next webinar, How to Avoid Emotional Hijacks.
Exactly.
Book your virtual seat now for $59, limited to the first 10,000 subscribers. So they learn from emotional hijacks. Have you ever been emotionally hijacked? Somebody taking advantage of your emotional reactions to certain situations or stimuli? Have you been emotionally hijacked, you think?
No, I haven't.
Not been taken advantage of because of you've lowered your defenses because of sympathy, empathy, or rage or something?
I don't do that.
Yeah.
So we're both a scratch on that one, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Makes me sad. I think you're trying to emotionally hijack me right now.
Well, if I took advantage of it, then that would be one thing. But then if you learnt from it, and learn not to do it again so I could take advantage of it, that would have meant you would have learned from this emotional hijack experience.
Mm.
So that's why I'm going to do that webinar on that. I'm going to read up on it a bit, maybe like 2 or 3 minutes, and I'm going to do like a clubhouse room on it, how to avoid being emotionally hijacked.
Oh, that would be exciting.
Yeah.
I might tune into that for like a minute and a half.
Well, I hope so, because I'm going to put you as one of the moderators.
Oh, no. No, I don't need that.
One of the speakers.
I don't need that kind of responsibility.
Well, no, I'm going to use you as an example. We're going to do some role-playing.
Ah,
gotcha. Role-playing where like we'll read from a script. It's like, Shepard, you look down today. Do you know what would make you feel better?
Wolf, I don't know. Tell me, please.
Buying these used pair of shoes I was going to throw away. Do you know why, Shepherd?
No.
Because if I throw these away, all I am saying is these shoes aren't good enough.
Why was my first voice so high? Why did I decide to do that?
I don't know. Because you're emotionally upset. Remember, I'm getting you at a low point.
You're emotionally hijacking me.
You've gone all submissive and sycophantic. So yeah, I'm taking advantage of your emotionally frail situation.
Yeah, let's not do that.
All right, I'm still going to do that webinar though. Next one. Again, I've already lost count. They demonstrate humility.
No.
No. So we'll just skip on the next one. They practice honesty. Now, I think I'll get one here because I do practice it occasionally.
Yes. Sometimes I'm dangerously honest.
Yeah. No, brutally. I think it's known as brutally honest.
There you go. That's, yeah. Yeah. I do that a lot. I need a point on that one.
Right. Okay. So that's the second one out of however many. We've actually got a genuine point. They're authentic.
What does that mean? I hate that when somebody says, hey, that's a real authentic person. It's like,
yeah.
So they're not, I guess they're not trying to pretend to be somebody else.
I don't know. I think we're actually Taiwanese knockoffs of parodies of ourselves, actually.
Yeah. I'd rather be Indian. I mean, if you think about all the followers that
we have learned that the Indians are fantastic people. And we're not talking about the Native Americans because they too are fantastic people. We are talking about the people who live in India. They are fantastic people.
Right.
We love all of you and we thank you for following us kind of, I want to say religiously, but...
Don't get them in trouble.
Don't get them in trouble. Yeah. Right. So, we do practice honesty occasionally. We do practice because we haven't perfected it.
Right. So, I think we get points for that one.
Oh, on that note, I've managed to find an aside from this to take a little bit of comic relief because I know this is starting to get heavy.
Oh, wait a second.
Yeah.
We bounce back to the honesty thing. And we were actually talking about the authentic thing.
Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah. So, they have a good memory. No points. Right, so, well, all right then, while I'm going back to the practice honesty thing, one of Ricky Gervais's friends who's on the podcast and he's had his own TV shows is a guy called Carl Pilkington, and he's from Manchester in England, right? And he was telling this tale on one of the podcasts with Ricky Gervais and Steve Merchant. He said that he was walking in London and this guy stopped him and said, hey, do you want to subscribe to some breathing lessons? And gave him some sort of price. And he goes, no thanks, mate. I'm 42. I think I've got the hang of it.
That must be British humor. I don't understand.
Well, breathing lessons. You know, people give all these lessons on how to breathe, you know. Oh. And it's supposed to be, you know, how to, you know, calm yourself down, get yourself in a tranquil place. But the guy said, do you want to buy some breathing lessons? And he goes, no thanks. I'm 42. I think I've got the hang of it.
Right.
Just basic breathing. So
gotcha.
He's not the smartest person in the world, Carl, but... if you're English, that's hilarious.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm going to chalk that up to that, you know, 40% of English humor that Americans just don't get.
Yeah.
That's why 60% of Monty Python is hilarious. The other 40%, it's like, okay, that was just some British humor there.
Right. They're authentic. I agree with you. I don't really know what that means.
I don't know what it means.
Does it mean they're like true to themselves? But even that term, I don't know what that means, they're true to themselves.
Maybe if we look at it this way, right? We are who we are, right? And we don't try to be somebody else. Maybe we are authentic.
I don't know. Sometimes. Sometimes we pretend to agree with stuff we don't really agree with.
I say we do tie goes to the runner and we get points for this one.
We are? All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Look, we're going to need all the help we can get.
Yeah.
We're only about halfway through the list and we're not doing well. So let's take what we can get on this one.
We're halfway through 19. This one.
So what are we on? 9.5? How?
I don't know. I was just making fun of the fact that half of 19 is not really an integer, is it? So this one, we touched upon this inappropriately during the main five things about EQ.
Okay.
They show empathy. Yeah. Now, I'm going to get a point for this because I show a lot of empathy towards my son. Everybody else can piss off, but I'm going to give myself a point because it doesn't say to everybody, does it?
Yeah.
Pets. I give empathy to pets and animals.
Well, yeah, because you have that old dog that I can't believe is still alive.
No, I can't.
We're trying to be honest here, so I'm going to give myself a scratch on that one.
I've already started looking for pet mediums because like her death is so imminent that I'm going to, you know, want to get in touch with her. The moment she crosses that rainbow bridge, I want an immediate update.
If you have a pet medium, do you have to find a person or a dog?
Well, also, if it's a pet medium, we're not talking about mediums you keep as pets either.
That is really confusing.
Yeah, isn't it? No, you actually get a person, but you have to get somebody who talks dog language. You know, like the horse whisperer and all those type people? Yeah.
Remember that crazy dude that had the weird beard that was like the cat whisperer?
Yeah.
And was doing all that?
Yeah.
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 So you're looking for all those somebody like that.
Yeah, he'd visit those homes with those mental cats who were like being all mean and scratchy and stuff, and he'd go and calm them down or at least find out what's pissing them off.
Right.
And sometimes the simple solution was, well, you own a refrigerator and the cat doesn't like the sound. So as long as you don't mind room temperature food, then this problem's never going away or something like that. He had a weird beard, didn't he? He looked like he was a kind of...
Well, didn't
male
he have,
witch or something.
Yeah, didn't he have a lot of like piercings and
all
that stuff too?
I don't know where that job found him or he found that job, to be honest with you.
Hey, good for him though, being an entrepreneur.
Good. Got TV show out of it.
Yep.
Don't think he's been in anything else. But
I wonder if that dude has a podcast.
We should get him on the podcast. Make a note.
Yeah. So Cat Whisperer dude, if you for some reason are listening to this, yeah, we want to have you on the podcast. Right. We don't even know what your name is.
Right. So I'm just going to actually write this down because I genuinely want him on here.
Yeah.
Get
Cat Dude.
The Cat Talker Dude.
Yes.
On show.
Now, don't lose that piece of paper.
I won't.
Okay.
Well, remember, I keep everything, all the notes and stuff, because I'm going to sign them all and send them to our fans in India.
Yeah. Man, that's going to cost a lot of postage.
It will. Well, I was just going to send it all in one package. Just send it to one random person in a village who's contacted us, and they can just hand them out.
Yeah. I mean,
to anybody, whether they've listened to the show or not.
What do you do? Just say, so-and-so, fourth grass hut on the left, New Delhi, India?
This is India, not Africa, mate.
Oh. I thought they lived in grass huts over there.
No. Well, I don't know, actually. No, it's like bamboo huts, I think. So whatever they live in, I've come to a... well, I've got a good plan, actually, how to distribute stuff to our listeners in India. A couple of weeks ago, I went on the USPS website, snagged a bunch of free envelopes and boxes. So I'm going to put all of our notes into a box, stick about four stamps on it, and just write to India and drop it off at the local post office. So it's going to get there, and it's going to have some instructions inside on a sticky note, and it'll just say, hand out to your friends and family. And so that's how I'm going to get it out there, and like maybe put the, you know, website, write the website down on the notes and stuff, and so they can write in to say they've received it. Maybe, I don't know, PayPal me back the cost of the postage. And
Just don't put a return address on it, because if you don't put enough postage on it, then the post office might send it back to you.
That is true.
Yeah.
Well, what are they going to do with it if you don't put enough postage on it? Do they have to deliver it to India and then make some poor person in India actually pay for the rest of the postage?
I don't know. I don't know how that works.
On another note, does the USPS actually service India in its delivery area?
I don't know that either.
Might have to FedEx it.
Yeah. I think that's a FedEx or UPS thing.
Well, crap. Now I'm going to have to go to the FedEx website and get some free envelopes and boxes from there. Mm. All right. So next point on the list. Now we've nailed empathy down. I don't know how we... Oh, I got a W on that. You didn't get a W on that,
no,
did
that,
you?
No, that was the one I said no. No empathy. Qualify.
All right. Yeah. Next one. They commend others. Let me commend you on your splendid tie.
Yeah, I'm going to say no.
No, right. No, I think I do actually commend others at times. So I'm going to give myself a point for that. I tell my girlfriend nice things, so she'll go ahead and make dinner.
Well, okay, so I was actually going to go with that. I mean, outside of like my wife and kids, I don't. But no. I mean, my kids do something good. You know, they get a good report card or something. Yeah. I say, hey, you know, you did good.
Good job. No living on the streets for you.
Yeah. So I do that. So does that count?
Yeah, go on.
Okay, yeah, then give me a point.
Yeah, as long as we can put they commend specific others.
Right.
It's one which is, I think, is a bit, well, it's not funny, not ha-ha funny, but it's a bit wishy-washy. They deliver necessary feedback effectively.
Oh, give me a point for that. I do that a lot.
Do you?
I do.
Give me an example. Use it in a sentence.
No, I don't feel like doing that.
Well, I figure like, necessary feedback effectively. All right, then. Say I ran into you, right, and you'd been on that My 400 Pound Life show or whatever it is on the Learning Channel or whatever network they've put it on, which doesn't seem to go with the title of the channel. So say I run into somebody on there and I say, oi, mate, you're looking a bit chunky, lose some weight, or you're probably going to die of a heart attack or probably get one of the forms of diabetes, which will lead to a miserable life. That I've delivered the message,
right,
but it might not be effective if we're having to take into account some of these other things on the list where I'm supposed to be a little bit kind in my delivery method and choice of wording.
Now see, you didn't say anything about kind,
but it was necessary, though, wasn't it? It's necessary. I've got to tell him, oi, chunky, you're gonna die if you don't sort yourself out.
And I have no problem with saying, hey, you know, if you do that, you're gonna have this response. So I'm still giving myself a point for this.
Yeah. Have you noticed I've started using the word chunky instead of fat? Because I think the word fat's offensive. And also, I don't want to confuse it with PHAT. Given our hip-hop podcast we did the other day, I'm now exclusively reserving fat, at least phonetically, for the PH-AT version, and that's something I kind of like or I agree with or I think is cool. So I'm not using the FAT word anymore unless we're talking about hard drives.
So that is mighty fat of you.
Yeah.
I'm PHAT. Sure. Right.
But you might have to explain to a lot of people, especially your parents, when you're using the word fat in that context. Like if you see something and go, yeah, that's fat, your mom's going to give you a funny look for starters.
Right.
So you're going to have to explain it probably every time you use it in front of your parents, let's be honest.
Sure.
Yeah. Right. They apologize.
You know, if I'm going, let's say, through the grocery store, right, and I accidentally bump into somebody, I say, sorry, excuse me. So, yeah.
Well, it depends who it is.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're unattractive or chunky, I don't care.
Yeah.
But if they're attractive and, you know, a nice person, I apologize. Yeah. So yeah, give me a point for that one.
Or if they're old, because you've got to take that, you've got to take that move it or lose it approach that you take on the highway when you're driving behind a slow person. Sometimes you need to kind of pull up on their, you know, rear bumper to kind of give them that, you know, come on, move over. And I think you should practice the same thing when you're pushing shopping carts in a grocery store.
I agree.
You know?
I think we get points for that one.
All right. Brilliant. They forgive and forget. Not the old people who we've just been terrorizing. This is the next one on the list. They forgive and forget.
I don't get a point for that.
I forgive, but I don't forget.
I barely forgive and I never forget.
I choose to practice the good Lord Jesus Christ's example of forgiveness, but I'm useless at practicing the forgetting thing. So I forgive, but I still have a lot of prejudice.
I understand where you're coming from, and I believe in that same kind of deal, but I'm just not very good at that.
All right. Point for me, not for you.
Yeah. By the way, Michael borrowed $1 from me in eighth grade to buy a Coke and never paid me back. Yeah. If I ever see him, I will get that dollar back.
Plus interest.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to mollywop him?
I mean, what do you think, like a dollar, if you invested a dollar in, say, 89...
Bitcoin, which didn't even exist at that point.
Yeah.
So say, no, this is the thing. You've already given him... Look, Michael, I have given you 21 years grace. I didn't even start collecting interest till 2010 or 2011 when Bitcoin came out. Then at that point, I bought $1 worth of Bitcoin when it was still like 1/24th of a cent. So now, Michael, you owe me $1.9 million or something like that.
Makes logical sense.
I can write that out for you later, just in case you run into him.
Too bad I can't remember his last name.
Search on the internet, just put, where is Michael?
Yeah, where is Michael, the guy that owes the shepherd a dollar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe use your real name, because he's probably not aware that you go by the shepherd now.
Oh, that's a good point.
You know, it's just like Bruce Wayne and Batman. There are some people who just know him as Bruce Wayne.
True.
Yeah. So, next one. They keep their commitments.
I do.
You do?
I get a point for that one.
Yeah, yep. I'm not so sure I'm going to give myself a point for that one. I mean, I do sometimes, but it's so random. And again, very choosy.
Sure.
I mean, don't you ever say something knowing full well there's no way on earth you're going to follow through on it.
No.
When you run into people or you talk to people you haven't seen in a long time, like, oh yeah, we'll have to catch up, we'll have to go out for a drink, blah, blah, knowing full well there's no chance on this earth.
Well, so that happens to me a lot. I'll get a phone call. In fact, a good friend of mine, I talked to him a couple of months ago, hadn't seen him in years, and we tend to talk on the phone about once a year. Hopefully he's listening to the podcast, Anthony. And we always kind of joke that, hey, we got to get together and have a beer and catch up. And I always follow that with, and we always say that every time we talk and we never follow through.
He sounds like an above average friend as opposed to a good friend if you're not following through on your commitment to him.
Yeah, but I preface the fact that, yeah, I'd like to do this, but I'm not committing to it. If I tell you, hey, I'm going to show up to your house in the morning and bring you a box of donuts, I'll do that.
Okay. Right, next one.
Now, by the way, I'm not saying I'm going to show up to your house tomorrow and bring you any donuts.
I didn't think you were. That's why I was moving on. Right, they tell good stories. So this one time at band camp, so she gets, I can't remember the name of a character, Allison Howe, or whatever her name was, is the actress's name.
Yeah, that's the real
American Pie. But yeah, her.
Yeah.
What is her name? Michelle, that's her name.
Yeah, that's right,
American
Michelle.
Pie, yeah. So she's a good storyteller, so she definitely get a point. Mm-hmm. But do you tell good stories?
I don't think so. I used to be able to tell good jokes.
I think you tell good stories.
Do I?
Yeah, I don't think you tell good jokes. You tell good stories.
So do I get a point?
Yeah, I think you do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think you tell good stories too. So I think we both get a point there.
All yeah. Right. Yeah. Is one. Again, it's very selective. They help others.
We do that. I mean, think about it. When we're done with the podcast today, you're going to go help kids with soccer skills.
Yeah.
So you're helping people, and I help people.
Only because they're paying me, though.
Well, sure.
Otherwise, I wouldn't be there.
But I'll you're still helping them.
Well, yeah, that's just like saying if you work at 7-Eleven, you're helping people. Like, without that less than minimum wage, they wouldn't be there. They'd be at home playing Xbox. And.
But you're still helping people.
I don't know. That's a bit... I wouldn't give myself a point for that.
Sounds like the Air Force is out there right now.
Right. Just... They're not helping.
No, they're definitely not.
They lose a point on the list.
Yeah, yeah, so Air Force, they lose a point for emotional intelligence.
Yeah, FAA, we're going to be in touch.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not going to give myself a point for that. Now, I know you help your parents out, but I don't know if that gives you points.
Yeah, that's just something you're supposed to do.
Yeah, so no points for either of us.
Okay, fair enough.
Now, this one I am going to give myself. Well, actually, I don't know. The last one, right? So, number 19.
Oh, we're on the last one already?
Number 19.
Okay.
As I would like it to be referred to. They know when to relax. Now, I do relax a lot, but sometimes I relax when I shouldn't be relaxing. So, maybe I don't know when to relax. I do relax, but I don't know when to relax because I relax a lot of time when I shouldn't be relaxing, when I should be doing something else. I should be being... studious or, you know, working or something.
Right.
But I choose to relax instead, so.
I would have to not give myself a point on this one because I hardly ever relax. I've got to be doing something. So, yeah, I'm a scratch on that one. All right, so I see you're over there counting up.
Yeah.
And
believe it or not, I don't need the fingers on both hands to total this up until we actually add the five.
All right, so you got your score counted up. Now you're counting my score up.
We both got 8. So plus the 5, we scored 13 out of 100.
No. We take the 8.
Multiply, multiply by 5, then add the 5. So 45 then.
So we're a 45 out of 100.
Yeah.
That's not bad. That actually is a little bit higher than I thought it would be.
Well, yeah, it's like still an F, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it's still an F. Going back, you want to know the 19 signs of an emotionally intelligent person. So in summary, 45 out of 100, we're somewhat emotionally intelligent. I think it's more deliberate, the lack of emotional intelligence, not the inability. We just choose not to be very emotionally intelligent.
I don't see anything wrong with that.
Yeah. Oh, no, I was wrong. That was number 16. There's 3 more.
Oh, well.
Seriously, no, listen. Let's get through these. They safeguard themselves from emotional manipulation, which I think goes along with that avoiding emotional hijacks one. So that's going to be my follow-up webinar, I think, that one. Safeguard themselves from emotional manipulation.
Yes.
So if you're feeling like a bad friend, that's probably the time for me to come and ask you to borrow some money. Because you'll be like, oh, such a bad friend. Oh, no, I'm not, because I can lend the wolf some money.
Hmm.
So that's emotional manipulation and a perfect example of it. So
yeah. So
do you safeguard yourself from
it? I do.
You do. All right.
Yeah.
Gosh, now with these, gets another point.
Yeah, with these extra 3 now.
Dang, you're going to knock yourself.
Yeah. No.
Getting close to that 50.
Well,
that still
just,
an F, but
well, that whatever. Got me to the 50.
Yeah. They embrace diversity.
No.
Do we really need to go into that one?
No. I think we can just... skip that one and go to the last one.
Well, you see, I think I do because I don't care what color you are, what religion you are, whether you're male or female. To me, you're either cool or you're not.
Right.
You can be a white, straight male and an absolute asshole. You can be a black lesbian and absolutely fantastic. You know, to me, it's all about the character and the personality. I really don't care where you come from, what you believe, anything else. If you're a cool person, you're a cool person. I don't have prejudice against anybody other than assholes.
Ah, but... diversity by definition means there's cool people and there are assholes and you don't like the assholes.
Right. Well, I'm still giving myself a point for that.
Okay.
Mainly because I need one because I missed out on the last one.
All right. Fair enough. You're just upset that I took the lead there for a second. Now we tied it up. So now we're at 50.
Now we're at question 19.
Right. Now we're at the last one. This is going to be the decider. Here we go.
They recognize the power of emotions.
Hmm.
Well, I do, because otherwise, how would I know how to emotionally manipulate people for my new webinar series?
Yes, and I recognize the importance of emotion because, yeah, you can play on those emotions if it is beneficial to you. So we've
now got 10 points each. So we get our 50 plus the 5. So our score's gone up to 55. So we're still an F, but we've passed the halfway mark.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I consider that mediocre.
Yeah, I consider that.
Which is par for our course.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I suppose there's no point any of our listeners looking any further to find anything else about emotional intelligence. If anything, I think we overdid it once we went past the first 5 basic definitions or breakdowns of emotional intelligence. Once we got to that list of 19, if you take out our actual commentary on it, you do have an exhaustive list of the signs of an emotionally intelligent person, right? So we've done the listeners a favor there. They don't need to go anywhere else to find anything else about emotional intelligence. Now, all right, we did fail a lot of questions, okay? But I did come up with some summaries, a couple of summaries from this, right? So we've got to jump on the bandwagon and sell ourselves as experts and make some money out of this, because there's a lot of people like us who until a few weeks ago were completely unaware of it. There's got to be lots of people out there unaware of it, and we can suddenly, before they get a chance to really kind of look it up and realize we're talking out of our butts, actually kind of get a couple of webinars going.
True.
Right? I'll set that up for next week.
So you'll look to set that up for next week,
yeah.
But this podcast is already going to be out, so...
Well, yeah.
Everybody's
going to... I don't think the people who are going to sign up for it are going to be listening to this podcast.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They're probably professionals who take this kind of thing seriously.
Gotcha. So we're going to go into that untapped resource we've always
talked about. Of people who might know what they're talking about,
We finally found it. Okay. All right. I'm with you.
All right.
Next one.
And the other thing, I thought about this... And I think if you score 14 or more out of 19 on this list, my chances of selling you a safe space tent or a therapy puppy is just like gone through the roof.
Well, now let's be careful though, because if you're going to sell therapy puppies, we want to make sure they're rescue dogs.
Well, it's no use if it turns around and bites you in the face because of its unknown history.
Yeah, but what difference does it make to us?
There's no dog facts like car facts. You can't find out how many fights it's been in, how many people it's maimed. Well, I think, you know, the little money we do have, especially given you revealed that we own some Bitcoin, some people are going to come and sue us if we give them a dog or sell them a dog, which then kind of maims them or a family relative.
But see, here's where I'm covering our bases, because we're not doing it. We're just going to point them in the direction of the animal shelter. We're not going to actually
do it. Well, then how are we going to sell them? I said sell safe space tents or sell a therapy dog. If I'm just pointing them in the direction of a animal shelter, I'm just doing a public service, which will probably get me an extra point on that list. But
exactly.
I'm not making any money out of that. Why am I going to do that?
No, we charge a fee. We say, hey, you need an emotional animal. Okay, give me $10 and I'm going to tell you where to get one. They give us $10 and we say, okay, go to your local animal shelter. Now we've made 10 bucks.
Yeah, that's... might have to revisit that plan.
Well, with all that said, thanks for tuning into this episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd. We hope you enjoyed it, and we will catch you on the next one.